This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This is the Smarks and Stripes podcast.
We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Smarks and Stripes. My name is Bill Matz. I'm your director of fun and games for the evening. As always, we are joined by former WWE official Kevin Keenan.
That's me.
And Eric the Turtle Golden.
What's up?
It's a very special episode today, guys. It's not just a regular Smarks and Stripes because, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce to you a former acting general manager of Monday Night Raw, a former Golden Gloves boxing champion, a former United States champion, former Money in the Bank winner, and the man who defeated Kurt Angle in his farewell match at WrestleMania, as well as Philadelphia's favorite son, Baron Corbin.
That's right. I'm in the house hanging out.
Good job there, Bill.
But yeah, he did a fantastic job. We could get rid of a couple of R's that butcher it and then bring you on.
I stuttered a little there. I was nervous on this one. This is my big intro. But
it's better than I was in D.C. and our girl forgot to say United States champion, so I ripped the mic away from her and the crowd was chanting, "You suck," so I pointed at her. Obviously, she sucks. And I was
clearly
like, "Hey, she forgot this line and this line." Then I went to hand her the mic and just dropped it right as she reached for it. Hilarious. She didn't think it was that funny.
That's so good. Baron is joining us, of course, ahead of Extreme Rules right here in Philadelphia on Sunday, July 14th. It's on the network, and tickets are still available at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. It's going to be an awesome show. Baron, you're challenging for the Universal title in a mixed tag Extreme Rules match. Raw Women's title also on the line. You're teaming with Lacey Evans. That's where I want to start. First, is it kind of weird to be in a mixed tag match for two titles and they're both singles?
It is. It's crazy because, well, I mean, number one, I'm not like a tag guy. I've always kind of done my own thing.
You're
and relied
wolf
on myself, but you know, you got to do what it takes sometimes to get those opportunities. And I think you know, Lacey was knocking on the door with Becky and myself with Seth, so it worked out this way. And I think it you know, I think it helps our odds because it doesn't just come down to me. She might be able to you know, get one on Becky, and you know, we both win, so it's like winner take all. It makes it nice. I think it's just going to put a different dynamic in it.
Last night, you and Lacey on Monday Night Raw set the trap for Seth and Becky. And at the end, Corey Graves says, I believe, you could be looking at the newest power couple in 6 days. You know, we've been watching Baron Corbin a while. We know all about Seth and Becky. Lacey's kind of the wild card here. She hasn't been around all that long. It seems like even her time in NXT wasn't the lengthiest. Like, I got to know you watching you in NXT.
Yep.
Tell us a little, maybe something we don't know about Lacey Evans, how it's been working with her, what's she like?
Well, I think that's one of the things that benefits us is they don't really know what to to expect. You can't go back and just watch a bunch of tape like you're watching, you know, a game or studying film, because there's just not a lot. I think, you know, she's going to pull out some surprises. She's athletic. She's ex-military, so she's not afraid to get her hands dirty and go to battle with somebody. So I think that's going to be awesome. And, you know, I don't mind putting those titles on the line with her on my side, because I think she's going to do what it takes to get done and not worry about hurting anybody's feelings, not worry about what the crowd thinks about her, social media thinks about her. It's one of those things where, you know, we're in it for ourselves, and we have a very good professional relationship going right now.
So as we said, a winner-take-all Extreme Rules mixed tag team match in front of a Philadelphia crowd who hasn't really always been very kind to you. How do you expect the Philly crowd to be on Sunday? Do you channel that reaction, good or bad?
I don't know if we could say any crowd has ever been kind to me. I mean, I was just in Tokyo, and the Japanese are the most respected,
yeah,
like, respectful crowd in the world, and they were even booing me. So it's like, there was another level. I just have this people are just not a fan right now, and I love it. I revel in it. I love when people are irritated when things don't go their way. I mean, when we did Stomping Grounds and I introduced Lacey as the special guest referee, like, it sucked the energy out of the building, because they were so angry that, number one, I fooled them, and number two, it's not who they wanted. And, you know, it's one of those things, when they get disappointed and angry, I love it.
Is that your favorite thing about playing that role, just irritating people to no end?
I mean, I love every second of it. I love when you just see people's faces or their frustrations, and people who are so engulfed in what's going on, they lose track of what's going on just because they're so angry. I mean, I've seen a 85-year-old man try to attack me while his wife is holding on to the back of his overalls in her wheelchair, and it's dragging her across the floor. Like, it's next level awesome.
I read an interview, I don't know how recent it was, within the last year or so, that when you were a kid, you would take the irritation level one step,
always,
and then one
far.
Step further after that.
Always too far. And it would be funny, because, like, when I was a kid, we'd be in the little groups at school or at kids' houses with their parents, and they'd be like, you know, it's always funny, and then, you know, you take it one step too far, and then you go one more, and then nobody's having fun.
So, you jumped into the perfect business to keep that going.
Right. I mean, I've you know, grown up irritating people. Now, it's so funny, too. I watch what irritates people. I'll sit in an airport, and you can see people getting mad about certain things. Regal actually taught me this. He was like, I was sitting there, and this guy was chewing on his fingernails. And he goes, and I just wanted to get up and hit him right in the face. And he goes, so the next night on Raw, I was chewing my fingernails. So, like, you kind of learn that. But now with social media, too, like, these people are so dumb that they tell me what they hate. And I'm like, you hate my vest? Okay,
awesome.
I'll wear two of them. Like, thank you for literally telling me what you don't like. Like, it saves me all the research when I get 700 tweets a day about what people don't like. I don't like that you kick and punch. Well, guess what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to kick and punch. Like, come on.
Speaking of Twitter, you can follow Baron Corbin at Baron Corbin WWE. Guys, if you are in the Philadelphia area this Sunday night, July 14th, live and only on the WWE Network, Extreme Rules from the Wells Fargo Center right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Tickets are available at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
Baron, I just want to ask you a little more about, you know, the bad guy character.
No, let's do it.
It's so good. Because
natural.
It really is. That's what I want to ask you. Because I remember watching a show on the network a few years ago. It was basically WWE Hard Knocks. It was Breaking Ground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Yeah. And you were pretty prominently featured. And there was a scene where Scott Hall came in. And he was like a guest speaker or trainer or something at the Performance Center. And he just looks at you and goes, oh, they have you playing heel now. They figured out what a dick you are. But it was just, I mean, it's bad guy to bad. That's the bad guy.
Yes.
Telling you, like, oh, you
it's
figured this
so
thing out.
It's so funny, because so many people say stuff to me like that. Like, Vince will always grab me, and he'd be like, we're having you do this because it's you. Like, and Paul Heyman, the same thing. He's like, you're just an asshole. Like, it's just one of those things. Like, they tell me that, and it's so funny because, of course, I don't see it. I think I'm the greatest person in the world.
Sure.
Which maybe is part of the problem, but they just talk about how natural it comes, and it's one of those things. I'm not there just playing something. Like, it's fun for me. And when he said that to me, because he's the OG, like, one of the best ever, and for him to pay that compliment of calling me that, I was elated. Like, it's fantastic.
So you are somebody that has never ever had a problem with telling the fans what you think what you think about them,
no.
anything of the
no.
like. But how do you feel about us? Like, our show is Smarks and Stripes. Do you pay attention to what the fans say? Does it fuel your character at all?
No, so the only way I pay attention is if I'm going to use it as fuel.
Sure.
But the problem is nowadays, I mean, you guys obviously understand, but there's 95% of the audience that are on Twitter, they don't actually have a clue
right.
what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They read some ridiculous thing that some idiot wrote, and they think they know or they think they understand because, you know, WWE has opened the curtain, if you will, a little bit. So they
mm-hmm.
think they understand. They think they understand this lingo, and they just don't have a clue. So I don't pay much mind to it unless, you know, it's a credible website or whatever. And even then, I'm still just like, I'm just going to do me regardless
yeah.
because – honestly, like if all those people hate me, it doesn't affect my paycheck. Like, I'm still going out there and doing my thing, and you know, they can cry all they want. Or, you know, someday it may happen where it's an Austin thing where it just turns and all of a sudden they're like, wait a second, they're the coolest person in the world. You
right.
just never know. But I don't go out there and try to do something. I just go do me, and it works the way it works.
I want to stick for a second on WWE pulling the curtain back, because the big news in the last week or so was the addition of Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman becoming executive directors of Raw and SmackDown, respectively. When Baron Corbin hears this, do the ideas start flowing, knowing that you're going to be working hand-in-hand with two of the guys responsible for part of the success of the industry in the modern era?
I mean, 100%. And I think it tailors to me a little bit, because if you think of those guys, like, the wrestling world is evolving. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new style out there of guys that are high flyers and they do all these crazy things. And that's just not me. I'm kind of old school. I watched old school wrestling. I like Big Boss Man. I like Bam Bam. I like Kamala. Like, I like all these old school cats. And they're very simple. I mean, if you look at the greatest guys from Austin, Rock, Michaels, all these dudes, Brett, like, they have 4 or 5 moves. They're not doing 800 different things, and I tailor myself after that. And I like to push the boundaries. I'm old school in how we irritate people and the lines we cross. And I think bringing those guys in and giving them more power, I think it's going to bring WWE back to what it was built on, like,
sure.
a little bit to its roots. And I think a guy like me will thrive in that.
You mentioned Bam Bam Bigelow. How far are we away from the head tattoo?
I'm working my way. I got two behind the ears here. And I'm working my way up slowly, because when it happens, it might kill my mother. Like, that's my legitimate fear, that my mom just has a heart attack, gives me the finger, and is gone. It's one of those things. It's.
But think of that heat. Like, you
right?
killed
yeah,
your
right?
own mother.
What? I know, right?
Jesus.
It was so funny. Last night on TV, they're like, Baron Corbin's mom's even rooting against him. And I'm like, no, she's the one person. And 50-50,
she's
my wife,
though.
Cheering
yeah.
for me. Yeah.
She likes Becky, but she still wants me to win.
My mom has called me after showing, why would you do that to Dolph? I like him. Mom, come on. Like,
but that,
yeah,
you got to just feel like you're doing a great
yeah,
job then.
I love it.
Gee,
that's so
that's
funny.
That's awesome. I want to go back a few months to WrestleMania. Because this was one of the major stories.
Talk about something that pisses people
yeah,
off.
Yeah. I was going to say, this was one of the things that people were going nuts about.
Nuclear heat here.
Leading into Mania.
Crazy.
You end up getting, you're in the spot with Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
And it's his farewell match. It's MetLife. It's everything. It's
Everybody
Mania.
Wanted John Cena.
Which is hilarious when you think.
Like, what I don't understand about that whole situation, like, we want John Cena. I mean, it's not like John was Kurt's first match. Like, it was... You know, Cena's first match was Kurt. So maybe when Cena's done, Kurt will be his last match.
Right.
Then it would make more sense.
Right.
Like, come on.
But what did it mean to you to be in that spot with what is Hall of Famer, Olympic gold medalist, one of the guys from that previous era?
There's a lot of really cool things about it, because, you know, we'd worked together for like a year. And I've always looked up to Kurt. I look at him and idolize what he's done and what he created, where he took, you know, he was a serious competitor. I mean, an Olympic gold medalist, and he was entertaining. He was fun. He wasn't afraid to be the butt of a joke. He
right.
wasn't afraid to embarrass himself out there. But when it was time to go,
you better have your
better.
Boots on.
Yeah, because he will wipe the floor with you.
100%.
Like, that is like the kind of guy I want to be. Like, I legit fought for 7 years boxing and jujitsu and all that, but I don't care if I'm going to get embarrassed or whatever it is here and there. But, you know, if it comes down to the nitty gritty, we're going to go and you're going to have a lot of problems. So I think that was really cool to you know, be around a guy like that who could kind of help teach me the ropes a little bit. And then, you know, to go to WrestleMania and everybody hates me for it. And, you know, to walk out of there with a victory over a Hall of Famer, like, how rare does that happen nowadays? Like, it's just the times have changed a little bit, and I think that was a really cool moment for me. And then my favorite part of the whole thing was his kids giving me the finger afterwards.
That's absolutely
They're
incredible.
Like 10, and I was getting the finger. It was fantastic.
I want to talk real quick a little bit about your transition from football to wrestling. You're obviously athletic. You seem to love the contact.
Yes.
Never had a problem with falling down.
No.
With other people that you were with in the Performance Center, did it come a little more natural to you than others?
I think so. Athletically, I like to think of myself as very gifted. I mean, there's not a sport that I can't just kind of pick up and play. Like, I'm actually a fantastic golfer.
Is that right?
Yeah, and like ping pong, or whether it's football, it's wrestling, it's boxing, it's just like I'm just kind of lucky. And I mean, obviously you have to work really hard to get to that level of being the best, but all of that was super easy for me. So going in there and doing the drills, I was learning extremely quick. A lot of the stuff like correlated, like footwork is very similar than football, and I'm playing at such a high level. You know, throwing punches, kicks, boxing, Muay Thai, I've done all that. So that all was super simple for me. For where I really had the hard part transitioning was the promos. And I could talk, I could sit down and do media for hours, but now, you know, in football and boxing, since I was 5 years old, they're going, don't show emotion, don't show you're hurt, don't show you're tired, don't show you're frustrated, don't show you're angry, you're stone-faced, never show your opponent what you're feeling. Now, it's like, hey, we have to show millions and millions of people around the world exactly what you're feeling in every moment. So when you get that microphone, or you're having to learn to convey that emotion to the audience, that was the hard part for me.
Were you in the tail end of FCW, or did you, were you right?
I was in FCW for like 9 months.
So you were in there with, you know, when Rollins was still there,
yep.
Ambrose,
oh, yeah.
Juice, all of these guys,
yep.
who had independent credibility. You're somebody.
Yeah, I was the only
who
one.
Never had one. I found
no.
your story very interesting because of that, because you were able to make the transition to the main roster and stay there having none of that experience prior.
Not
was there an aspect?
One second of it.
Was there an aspect of the main roster that was difficult for you to pick up, maybe because of that inexperience?
No, I think the main roster, because you're thrown into the fire there, and I think I'm a true competitor. So when you know that the bullets are real and you have to succeed if you want to stay, I think it was just good pressure for me. I think the pressure was basically amongst the group of guys, especially in FCW and going into NXT, because they had these long careers of, you know, like with Seth and Ambrose, and or they had lineage, you know, Roman Reigns, mm-hmm. the family. Like, I didn't have any of that. I was a stranger coming into a different ground. They heard I got a better contract than a lot of them, which is not true, but it's just one of those things. So, of course, they hear it, so I'm going to go, yeah, I did, you know.
Right.
Not really, but it was one of those things, like, just because I didn't want them to know anything. But that was the hardest part, was kind of getting into the crew. Like, even Corey Graves was like, when you walked in the door, I hated you. Like, and now we're like best friends.
Right.
But it was just, I think, because you get a lot of people that come into the WWE world and go, I just want to make a lot of money. Like,
sure.
I don't actually care about wrestling. And like, I played with it in the beginning, especially online, when people are like, you have, you know, you didn't pay your dues. And I'm like, well, I don't work for a hot dog and chips.
Right.
So get over it.
Which, by the way, pissed an entire fan base off.
I know that was, you're in NXT and you're doing a lot of squash matches.
Yes.
And then you're, I think it's a takeover, you're with Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
And you toss him out of the ring and you're screaming, go back to Ring of Honor! I was like, I want to fight this
guy. I didn't even have a clue. Like, he never worked in Ring of Honor. He worked in something else. But I didn't know. Like, I just didn't know that whole world existed. But growing up for me, it was WWE, WCW, like, that was my world growing up. And then, you know, Harley Race in Kansas City going
sure.
to those shows at Memorial Arena, but I was too young to understand about the territories. So I didn't even know this whole world. And then even getting into NXT when you brought Finn Balor and Shinsuke, they're over in Japan, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Cool.
Like, I didn't, what does that mean to me? Like, I know the Great Muta.
Yeah.
Is that a win? Like, but it's just one of those things, like, that was the transition, was kind of getting in with the boys a little bit when they didn't know. But then when they find out, oh, yeah, he's been going to shows since he was 10 and doing that, then they kind of gain a little respect. Or they see your work ethic. Like, when you're in there watching film and you're spending extra time in the ring. I mean, I don't know how many hours I spent after class in the ring with Norman Smiley.
He's fantastic.
Or Billy Gunn or Terry Taylor, you know, or Matt Bloom, like, or then Hunter and Taker when they were around. I just, like, was glued to them when they were around. And so I think people saw that, and that's where, like, okay. And I think that's what helped me find success.
You just named a bunch of people there, staff and trainers alike in the performance center. Is there anybody that sticks out to you that you learned the most? Maybe somebody gave you a piece of information or showed you a way to do something that really sticks out to this day?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because they all offer something different. I mean, I go back to Steve Kern.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I rode with Steve Kern when I was there because nobody liked me. And Steve would always be like, well, jump in the ring truck with me and we'll go to the shows. And he would just tell me stories of all the ribs he used to play on people. And then just working with, you know, these unbelievable guys from his days of Fabulous Ones. Working in Chicago and the lights come on and some dudes jump the rail to try to fight him. And so they cut the lights real quick. The cops beat up all the guys. The lights came on. He said it was the biggest pop of his career because the fans thought he beat them all up. Like just getting those kind of stories, that helps. But like, 'cause then I understand like the tradition. I know that when I was coming in, I know how locker rooms work and there's etiquette. So I went and met with Johnny Stamboli before I went to my tryout. I was like, hey, I need to know the etiquette. Like, tell me what I can and can't do. So I think you learn a lot of that from the history of those guys. Then Norman, Norman is probably the greatest technical wrestler on the face of this earth.
Co-signed.
Norman Smiley is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And everything he's done. And the crazy thing is he's a hardcore champ, but the dude could wrestle anybody and out-wrestle anybody. So, like, he really kind of built my foundation with footwork and the movements, and so it looks clean and looks smooth. And then, you know, Billy Gunn and Hunter really helped me kind of find my personality in the ring and who I was. So those guys really had a hand in Baron Corbin becoming Baron Corbin. And then Taker helped a little bit. But then Terry Taylor, I think people don't give him enough credit.
Sure.
He is the polishing coach there, and he teaches guys how to become stars. He teaches them how to stand still and revel in the moment. When I stand still in a ring, 90% of the time they just start booing me. And if I wasn't standing still for that moment, I wouldn't get that reaction. He teaches you how to just take advantage of every second, how to walk around and be a star, how to dress, how to carry yourself in public. I think he doesn't get the credit he deserves.
We're here in Philly. We're a big Eagles town. You obviously saw Jason Kelce on the screen on the computer there.
Yeah, having a good time.
You have our guy. You have our coach. Can he ever get over that hump? Can he ever win you that Super Bowl as a big Chiefs fan that you are?
Man, you had to go here, didn't you?
Absolutely.
No. Like, I don't think so, man. Like, honestly, when we got him, I was like, dang, man, I did not want him as the coach. He can't get through the playoffs. I don't know what it is. He becomes conservative. Mahomes was the best quarterback in the league last year.
Second best, but that's okay.
Okay.
He's ranked number one this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
About to get physical in here. I think that, you know, our team was amazing, and I think that he gets in the playoffs and he just gets scared or whatever. Like,
yes.
I don't understand. And he did it to you guys for years.
Yeah.
For years. He leaves you in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, no.
Instantly. Just like,
that's...
What's the biggest weakness of the Chiefs then? What is it besides Andy?
Andy Reid.
Besides him, you gotta have some other issues. Your defense.
Some of our players are morons and get in trouble. Our defense struggled this year. I think we need our D line that can really step up and get some pressure on some quarterbacks. I mean, you watched some of the games last year, and Brady had all day to throw at times. Like, we need some pressure, and I'm always a big O-line guy, especially in Kansas City, because when you had, you know, Will Shields, Willie Rove, what was the center's name that we had forever? And he went to Denver after Kansas City. What was his? Mm-hmm. But I think we had the greatest O-line for 10 years, and then it just kind of fell off a little bit. So,
any prediction for them this year?
I always say win it all, but it just doesn't happen. I want them to do really well, and I think, you know, how many games is he going to get is going to play a role in how we do this season, and if guys can just stay out of trouble. I mean, we have the best fan base, I think, in football.
Second.
It is always so damn loud in that stadium. Like, it's fun to watch games in KC.
And I've played here in Philly. I've played in Oakland when I was with Arizona, and the fans there are just the worst. But Kansas City, die hard, man. I was going to games when I was 6 years old, and you're in line at 4 a.m. to get your spot for the tailgate. Like, it's crazy. I have not been to a Phillies game as a fan, so I can't, you know, comment on
their
fans.
We've got two former Eagles working here. I mean, we got some backup if I need it.
You know what? It's the city, too. The city is fantastic for Philly. And, you know, you guys are having a good year in sports this year. You guys paid Bryce Harper $1 billion.
He's doing all right.
The jury's still out on that one.
Yeah, it's on the fence, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I think they're going to do well. I think we'll definitely make the playoffs again. I think Mahomes has got his head on his shoulders, and he's extremely talented. I think it helps that his dad was a professional athlete and kind of instilled some groundwork there.
Around the locker rooms and all that. So.
Yeah, how about the Eagles? What are they going to do this year?
I mean, I would love a Kansas City Eagles Super Bowl.
What's the quarterback situation? I haven't.
Well, that's a point I was going to bring up. Patrick Mahomes ranked number one. You know who's not ranked in the top 10?
Well, who should be?
Carson Wentz.
Well, he's got to stay healthy.
Not ranked in the top 10, which is, I understand the health situation, but that's still mind-boggling to me.
The backup won a Super Bowl. I mean, that's the way
it
goes.
Yeah, but you know what? The Magic isn't going to travel to Jacksonville, let's be honest.
Probably not. No, I would doubt it. Baron, you're telling me, just to go off of this for a second, you're telling me about your schedule and how, we all know how ridiculous the wrestling schedule is. It's a known thing, but you seem to be a pretty hardcore Chiefs fan. How much time do you have to like keep up with your teams?
Well, you get a lot of times you're sitting in airports. Okay. So you're on your iPad looking up stuff. And, I mean, that's the thing. You spend all this time in airports and on planes, stuck on a runway when the plane's not moving for 3 hours. Or, you know, in hotel rooms, you can only do so much. I'm not a big, like, go-out and party guy. If I find a cigar bar or a whiskey bar, I'll go have some drinks. But other than that, I'm you know, in laying around or at the gym. It's just on the road.
Yeah.
I'm just not home. So you have some free time. But, like, June, I was home 4.5 days, the entire month of June. I was in Singapore. I was in Tokyo. I was in Europe. I mean, you're all over the place. And then I was supposed to go home this morning at about 6 a.m., but I got to come hang out here. So
got free tasty cakes.
So good. That coffee one was crazy good. And I got coffee. But I actually like doing this stuff, so it never bothers me. But yeah, it's being away from home like this, it can be rough.
And we really appreciate you doing this. We realize like the schedule is absolutely freaking insane, and this is awesome for us. I mean, I call myself a smark, but I'm a mark. This is just cool for me.
This is kind of what's fun about it. Like, going out and performing is awesome too, but then like getting to sit in a room and talk about it with people who kind of know what they're talking about, or getting little kids that just love what you're doing, and you know, also just kind of spreading the word. Like, I've done, you know, radio shows, and maybe somebody heard me and is going to connect to something I said that might make them come out to the show and experience it for the first time and become a fan. Like, that's the cool thing about
all this.
I'm
going to tell you this. My girl's coming for her birthday.
Okay.
Extreme Rules. She absolutely hates you.
Good.
But she was ecstatic to hear that you were coming in, if you were like you were on TV to all of us here.
It's pretty funny, too, because like I'll be in an airport and, you know, I can be standoffish, if you will, but it'll always be a little girl that comes up and it's just like, will you sign this or give me a hug? And then everybody's like, oh, he's okay. We'll all come over.
So
they're the icebreakers.
That's perfect. I want to transition quick. Everyone is aware that there's new competition, if you want to call it that, emerging. There's so much wrestling out there now. I mean, there's going to be a damn Evolve show on the WWE Network on Saturday. There's so much going on. This has to, like, even though you work for one company, just seeing that everything seems to be growing the way it used to be, do you guys feel it? Like, is there a buzz like things are about to blow up again? Like, how what's the feeling? Are you
competition is the best.
Yeah,
and
okay.
You know, you said, you know, work for one company. I work for the company. WWE is the company.
Of course.
Always will
and
be.
They've just laid the groundwork that I don't think you can compete with in 5 or 10 years. It's going to take you 20 years to get on this level. But I think competition is a good thing. The fact that people are talking and arguing about wrestling is awesome. Like, that's
you should
what
hear some of these
about.
Battles.
I mean, it's fantastic, though, but that's what makes this special. And I think that's what's going to get parts of the audience that we're missing back involved, because when there's a rivalry, people go to different depths to succeed and not. I truly don't believe anybody can compete with us, but the fact that there's conversation that people believe that, like, I want to take my size 13 boot and step on every other company in the world. And that's the way I think they should feel, you know, and that's what makes everybody better. And I think that wrestling is like, someone said wrestling is flavors of ice cream. You know what I'm saying? You love chocolate, you love vanilla, you love strawberry. You don't have to just love one thing.
Like, sure.
Dude, it's awesome. It's all awesome. And it's all a good thing. So having it and having this buzz is awesome. Like, I love it. I love that people think they can compete with us. They can't. But the fact that they think that, I think, will make some special nights for some companies.
Bill, you touched on it a second ago. I'm glad that you did. This Saturday, WWE will be airing on the network the 10th anniversary special of Evolve. We kind of hit on it a little bit earlier, but Evolve has that kind of fan base that Baron Corbin really hasn't endeared himself to, often stating, I didn't have to do what these guys did. I just made a phone call, guys.
Yeah.
If Baron Corbin were to show up in that kind of environment.
So this is funny because I was actually talking about this with Tyler Breeze because he worked in
the
Evolve
show. He was just
there. Yep. And he's like, Corbin, you should come work one of these because everyone will want to kill you. And I was like, I actually should. Like, that would be awesome.
I'm just picturing World War III type stuff.
I'm hoping that they light the building on fire if I ever did that. Like, it would be great to just have some dude go backflip, moonsault, handspring. And I go, boom, right down, punk. Like, they're going to go, ah, like, they're going to hate me for it. Like, it would be amazing.
Make it simple. Bill read up your whole resume earlier in the show. What's your career highlight?
Man, like, there's so many cool things. And for me, really, it's Kurt Angle. Like, that moment at WrestleMania with a Hall of Famer, just walking down the ramp, it is a career highlight. Because everybody's in this game to have WrestleMania moments. And I truly believe that I already have two of them. I have the Kurt Angle and I have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Like, I have two major Mania moments in my pocket. And I also love, like, you know, winning my first championship, because I didn't win a title in NXT. So getting the United States Championship, winning it off AJ and Ty Dillinger in that triple threat, I thought was something special. That was an achievement, because I want to be a guy that holds all the titles here. I really want to hit a grand slam. And so I think I'm on my way. Like, I really do feel that. I know that people do not want to see me as champion, so nothing would make me happier than rubbing that in their face every day. So,
is there anybody you haven't wrestled you would like to wrestle?
I would like to get in an in-depth thing with Randy Orton, I think, because, you know, I've wrestled with John Cena, I've wrestled Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Kurt Angle. Like, I've had some really high-profile guys, Dean Ambrose, when we were fighting for the Intercontinental Championship. Like, I've had some really cool stuff. I haven't really been in the ring much with Roman, which I think would be really cool, but I think Randy's the best, and I think the way he moves and the moments he takes, like, no one can touch him on that kind of stuff.
You guys
and so,
are, like, sort of similar. You're both big dudes, but a lot faster. Every time you do that, like, under the rope thing.
Stole that from Boss Man.
And come back. Like, that's impressive
stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think he's super athletic. And I think that would be a really cool thing to get into. That and Roman as well. Just, cool. But if it's with Roman, I want it to be going to Mania.
Oh, that would be, yeah. I mean, that's the money. That's right there. We just have a couple of listener questions to wrap this up. Two questions we got off of Twitter.
Oh, this will be dangerous.
They're somewhat easy. Just,
well, that's no fun, then.
Yeah, I know.
From Mystery Mook, he just wants to know, how do you like your current ring attire? Oh. I don't think he's a fan.
It's hot and it's hard to move in, but it irritates people, so I love it. Like, they're like, I don't like your vest. Okay. Like, I'm going to wear four of them now. Like, would you like one? I can send you one. Like, the ring attire is, it's hard sometimes just because I'm a big guy for gear. I like how guys look in gear. Like, mm-hmm. If you're at a football game, guys are in football uniforms. Like, I think it's it. But, you know, whatever they ask, I do. And it's pretty simple.
And you had that, like, your gear before was so different.
Yeah.
Like, you had that, like, grungy-looking, that badass style, and now you're playing off
clean
that general
cut,
manager.
Baby. Yeah,
it's shaved your head. Like, it's totally different look.
It is. It is.
I think it's
totally
really...
And I think it's good, because I think if anybody stays stagnant too long, people just get tired. Like, I remember we were in NXT one time, and Taker was there, and I was like, well, how do you know when it's the right time to evolve? And there was a question that really caught him off guard. He's like, kind of like, it was hard to answer, because...
Right.
You don't know, and I think I got lucky that that role came at the right time, because I think just big, tough guys nowadays, it's not like the 80s and 90s where just a big, badass, tough guy is going to be this huge overheel. Like, in that world, you have to have complexity, and I think that role gave me a lot of complexity and kind of elevated me to another level.
It was very, like, corporate Kane-ish.
It was, and it was the first time, like, you know... I think, like I said, promos for me was the hardest adjustment, but now I'm having to do 8 promos in a show and opening the show with a 4-page promo. Like, I really had to step my game up in that, and I think it was good for me as well as my character.
You mentioned promos real quick, for, you know, being handed 4 pages and stuff like that. Are you more of a bullet points type, let me go out there and kind of...
So you got to earn
the business across.
You got to earn that right. You got to earn that trust, and you got to know, you know, that you're going to hit times, and you're not going to just go rambling on. You have to earn that bullet point privilege, and I've finally earned it, thankfully. So when I'm out there in front of the live audience, Vince kind of lets me go if I hit that. Backstage are still a little different because you have very specific things to get across, but it helps to be bullet point because then they become your own words, and they're much easier to relate to people. And then also, like, wrestling is in the moment. That's something people are missing, I think, in understanding that you want to be out there and in the moment. And so sometimes you have to be in the moment, and if a crowd's doing something, you got to let them have it, or you got to adjust on the fly. And I think doing all those promos and giving me the confidence to memorize a 4-page promo now to where I can be out there, and if I want to go off script and let some guys have it and come back and Vince is laughing and like, that was awesome, like, great job, but I can get back to where I need to go and hit my points. Like,
you mentioned living, you know, wrestling being in the moment. I'm trying to tell these guys all the time that, and maybe you'll agree with me, not sure, but heel and babyface, being a heel and a babyface, that circumstance creates that.
Yes.
Not necessarily going out there and clapping your hands, you're a baby face, or telling somebody to shut up.
Yeah.
You're a heel. Is that something you were able to adapt to?
So I think for me, it was funny because I was in NXT and I was doing those short matches where I was killing guys in 20 seconds and the crowd loved it. And all of a sudden we were in San Antonio and I went out there with Rhino and the crowd, first time in my career, which was only 6 months, mind you, that I'd ever been booed. They hated me in San Antonio for some reason, or San Jose. And so from then on, they're like, oh, maybe he's a bad guy. And like, that's where we kind of started to flow into that. And it came organically, which I think is the way it should. That's when people truly connect or truly feel. But if you're forcing someone to go, this guy is a good guy, or this guy is a bad guy, doesn't always work.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard. You know, AJ's come to the dark side, thankfully. But some people are still going to love AJ. So you're going to have that middle ground, which is a hard place to be. So for me, I'm lucky that 99% of the people just despise me.
And you were talking about your moveset earlier, and this is our last Twitter question, because like you said, you only do a couple of things, but you have some awesome moves. Like that, the duck under the bottom rope around the ring post, that's awesome. The deep six is really cool. But Mr. Nick on Twitter wants to know, how did you come up with the End of Days? Because it's odd to see something new like at this time
so
around.
It was actually deep six and End of Days were both an accident. They were. It's crazy. So the Performance Center has a crash pad ring. Mm-hmm. And so for the End of Days, I was in there with a kid. His name was Solomon Crow.
Sammy Callahan.
Callahan, when he was at NXT. And we were just screwing around. And he like jumped off the rope. He did like a second rope DDT, but I caught him weird and had him down. And I just kind of slammed him.
Sweet.
And we were like, wait a second. That might have been cool. Like, or you could have got hurt. That was pretty dumb. But
probably cool.
It was one of those things because we kind of had an idea. Like, I saw a Japanese match where a guy had a suplex and he switched him under and kind of did it. So I was like, well, what if we do that? And it just happened. And like, we both set up and we're like, whoa. And then I sent it to Billy Gunn in a video. And I was like, hey, how about this for a new finish? He goes, I might use that tonight. I said, you better not. He was on Raw that night doing something. I was like, if you use it, we're fighting. Like, it was so funny. And then deep six, it was started as a belly to back where I turned over and like I went belly down with him as well. But I was doing it with Tyler Breeze and he hit the ropes too fast. And I caught him off balance and we spun and hit. And I was like,
that was awesome.
Another cool one. Like, so both those were just fun accidents that happened because, they're both brand new. Like, especially in the days, like, that when is a new finish come out in the last 10 years? Like, it's hard to think of. So other than submissions, like,
sure,
there's only so many things you can do with a human.
So that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us, Baron. This was, of course, WWE superstar Baron Corbin main eventing.
That's right.
Extreme Rules pay-per-view this Sunday, July 14th, at the Wells Fargo Center in Philly. And tickets are still available at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. And, of course, it's on the WWE Network. Thanks a lot for coming out, Baron.
Thanks a lot, Baron.
That was fun.
This was really cool. All right, everybody. Thank you so much all for listening to our interview with Baron Corbin. We had him in studio. It was a really great time. Like we said, Extreme Rules this Sunday, July 14th, at the Wells Fargo Center. Watch it on the network. It's going to be a really good show. For Kevin, for Turtle, for everybody, thank you for listening. Thanks for hanging out. My name is Bill Matz. Have a great week, everybody.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.